bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be here back on the air at 1570 AM WISP, 1420 AM WCOJ. We have a great show for you today, and we'll be covering various topics, including the readings from our weekend's masses. And I want to take a moment just as we get started to thank Dale and Jane for producing our show, and also for Frank for giving us the opportunity once again to be here and for producing Finding God in Prison. Our show today is dedicated to our Lord Jesus Christ, and as this is the Lenten period, we can't thank you enough, our Lord, for giving us this opportunity and platform to really get the message out. And so with that, we want to just get started, and this is the Lenten period, and we want to just remind you that you know, this is a time of sacrifice and fasting and a focus on the Lord's coming, truly, for the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord is just on the horizon. And we just want to prepare once again for these events, which is so important. I want to take a moment to just tell everybody about a movie I saw recently, which is called God's Not Dead, which is a 2014 American Christian drama, a film directed by Harold Krunk. And it was an amazing film, really, in which a college student has to take on a professor who is an atheist, a non-believer, and in a class of probably 60 students in a class setting, he is challenged with the task of standing up for his faith. It was a beautiful display of courage and commitment and faith to our Lord, and it was just a wonderful program. And I just want to ask you to take a look at it. It was on Netflix. I think you'll be inspired by it, because we're at a time really in our nation where we need to stand up for our faith. There is no time like the present to do that, and it's so critical that we continue to stand up for our faith in different topics as they come up. And we'll be talking about the Equality Act today, but again, this is a great movie, and the movie is a great example of what's happening in America today, where students are being condemned for their faith and by atheistic professors and non-believers. And so we will have to stand up for our faith. And I just tell you, in the movie, you know, this individual truly is an inspiration and a role model for all of the students. And the professor actually gives the students an opportunity to move forward in the course as they begin the semester, to eliminate, you know, their belief in God by signing a paper that said God is dead. And if they sign the paper and hand it in, they will eliminate that part of the course and not have to take any of the exams, and will eliminate the struggles that comes with that as well. So all of the students actually signed the paper except for this one. And the professor gave him an opportunity then to prove the case that God is not dead. And he had 3 weeks to do it, three individual classes. And with that, he took on the professor, who was a philosophy professor and an atheist. And in doing that, he truly proved the case that God is not dead. But one of the things we found out was that this professor, who hated God, you know, was challenged because the student asked him, he said, "Why do you hate God so much? Why do you hate God?" And he said, "Because God took everything from me." And basically what he was referring to was that his mother had died at the age of when he was 12. And so he lost that, that opportunity to have a mom throughout his entire life. And because of that, he became an atheist. He pulled away from God. And that was revealed during this movie. And so as the student took the professor on, he proved the case. And as they went through the, as you go through the movie, you'll see that the professor himself was ending up alone without his wife, and in an attempt to get her back, was in a position where he was hit by a car and was near dead. But at the moment before he died, he had a chance to accept Christ in his life as his Lord and Savior by a pastor right there on the street. And it was a phenomenal moment because he accepted Christ and then he died. And so with that, you know, we never know the mindset of another person. We never know where they're at or why they're doing things until you start asking questions. But we will be challenged and we will be put into a position where we can share our faith, stand up strong for our faith. And this movie called God's Not Dead is a great example of what one person can do. And this is what God calls us to do. You know, he calls us to speak out, to stand up for our faith, and to share our faith, you know. And not everybody's going to agree with it. Not everybody's going to support us. There may even be division, which God calls, you know, us to truly when he says, you know, "I did not come to bring peace, but division." And there will be, you know, situations where families will be divided because of our faith. And there will be situations in schools where students will be divided, or teachers and students will be divided, or co-workers will be divided. And so, you know, although there is division, God calls us to stand up strong, you know, like the apostles, like St. Paul, to follow in their footsteps and to be a voice for our faith. At a time in our nation when we have great division, great racism, great illogical decisions being made for family life and for some of the great, topics of discussion like abortion and just euthanasia and assisted suicide. There is some great topics of discussion that we need to be a voice for. We need to stand up for. And the time is right. We need to do it now. And I just tell you that, there is no time like the present. And, we need to make sure that we're doing this, you know, as often as we can. There will be opportunities. It'll be up to us to really, make that, decision to be a strong voice. And not to sit back and wait and watch things decay, but to get involved, to be a voice, to be a lobbyist wherever we can, you know, and to truly, stand up for Jesus Christ in our nation today. Very, very important. And so if you have a chance to see God's Not Dead on Netflix, I encourage you to do it. Again, it's a 2014 drama where a spiritual student clashes with an atheistic professor who insists that students will only pass the class by admitting that God is dead. So, you know, professors have a great, role in our nation today in forming students. And so we have to be very careful in the colleges we select, the schools we select, the professors who teach our courses. We have to be careful and remember that the home is truly our first classroom, where we have opportunities as parents and grandparents to provide, a mindset that is conducive for good living, a mindset that is aligned with our Lord and His Word, in as we form our children's decisions and their pathway through life. Very, very critical. Want to take a moment now to switch gears and remind you, you're listening to Joe Montone here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This is Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. I want to take a quick moment to thank Terrell Lang for sending us a beautiful thank you note from upstate. Terrell was an 8-time graduate who did a phenomenal job in the Wings program. And he says this: "Dear Mr. Montone, thank you very much for all you do for me and others. I personally respect all that you do. May God bless you and your family." And he says, "Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, your friend Terrell, 2021. And so, you know, sometimes it takes a while for the mail to arrive because of the, the locations. Actually, today, all of the facilities that our men are residing at, all of their mail goes through a P.O. box down in Florida. Believe it or not, when we have to send a letter to someone upstate, it has to go through St. Petersburg, Florida, and then up. So I believe today all of the mail is being monitored and reviewed prior to going to any facility in Pennsylvania. Okay, recently, my friends, there's been a lot of controversy about the Equality Act, which is basically, you know, been passed in Congress and is due to be voted on in the U.S. Senate. And the Equality Act was previously passed by the Democratic-led House in 2019, but was killed by Senate Republicans. The debate was laid bare, the ideological battle between liberals who support the act and conservatives who say it infringes on religious freedom. The act expands on a 2020 Supreme Court ruling protecting some LGBT rights. So we're going to be talking about that here this morning. And this is important, okay, because it has a lot to do with our freedom and the rights of people. On June 15, 2020, the United States Supreme Court ruled that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity in employment. LGBTQ rights advocates welcomed the ruling and reaffirmed support for passage of the Equality Act, noting that the ruling only covered employment, and in many states, LGBTQ people still lack non-discrimination protections in housing, public accommodations, public education, and so on. And so as we go through, I want to bring out some things about the Equality Act that you may not know about. And there are four ways the Equality Act would harm children. And this is important because our children really are the future. And we can't say enough about that. This is really a critical time in our nation where the voice that we have makes an impact on our legislators. So there are four ways that the Equality Act can hurt our children. Number one, in the area of curriculum, this bill could lead to federal courts or future presidential administrations imposing a nationwide mandate to incorporate sexual orientation and gender identity into the curriculum in all public schools. A number of states already use similar curriculum, including graphic and age-inappropriate sex education for children as young as kindergarten and requiring the inclusion of LGBT history. These schools frequently find ways to circumvent standard parental notification and opt-out procedures, as LGBT activists' state goal is to reach children whose parents are not affirming of gender ideology. Parents can expect similar developments on a national scale if the Equality Act becomes law. That's the first area. The second area the Equality Act can harm children. Number one, the Equality Act would also affect children at school. First, it would mandate that schools across the country allow students who identify as transgender to access the opposite sex's restrooms, locker rooms, and showers. It would also require them to allow biological males to compete on girls' sports teams where they have a clear physical advantage. Other provisions of the bill could, under the guise of preventing bullying and harassment, require teachers and students to use the preferred names and pronouns of those who identify as transgender. In the area of medicine, the Equality Act would require medical professionals to perform irreversible gender transition procedures on minors, regardless of the conscientious objection or best medical judgment. The experimental use of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones on children can carry serious consequences, including delayed brain development and permanent sterility. The bill's findings also paved the way for an eventual ban on any counseling intended to help children with gender dysphoria accept their bodies. Given that 80 to 95% of children eventually come to identify with their biological sex, if they do not undergo social transition, employing federal law to ban counseling for children is a mistake. And the fourth area we want to just mention is in the area of adoption. Adoption, foster care, and parental rights. The Equality Act would significantly affect the child welfare system. Faith-based adoption and foster care providers would risk losing federal funds if they declined to place children with same-sex couples. This, in turn, could lead to these providers being forced to close, displacing thousands of children and further straining an already welcome system. Prospective foster parents could also be required to affirm a foster child's stated gender identity and barred from any efforts to help a child with gender dysphoria except his or her body. The majority of Americans oppose these policies, and many more are likely to have reservations about them. A Heritage Foundation poll showed 66% of parents are opposed to curriculum like California's Healthy Youth Act that teaches children about sexual orientation and gender identity. In another Heritage poll, nearly 60% of those surveyed opposed the Equality Act's provisions on transgender medical treatment, counseling bans for children with gender dysphoria, and allowing biological males to compete on girls' sports teams. A majority opposed allowing students to use the opposite sex's restrooms and locker rooms at schools, and 43% opposed requiring the use of preferred names and pronouns of students who identify as transgender. Around one-fourth of respondents said that they did not know or preferred not to answer each question, reflecting a high level of uncertainty about a sensitive topic. So I just put that out there to you today, my friends, because this is the world we're living in, and we have a lot of changes being made by our current presidential administration. And if you agree with them or disagree with them, I want you to, be a voice here with us at Holy Spirit Radio. I want you to give us some feedback. Give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And again, as we pointed out, there are, ways that this will harm children. So be a voice, get to your U.S. senator, and make an impact on this vote. Because if it doesn't pass in the Senate, the bill will be, denied. It will be killed. And we can protect our children once again. And this is important, my friends. It doesn't matter what's happening today in your life. I want you to take a moment to get educated with regard to the Equality Act and be a voice for, our children. And we know that in the area of abortion, you know, being a voice for the unborn child is always on our lips. It's always there. It's always something we have to do. As hundreds of thousands of abortions take place each and every year here in the United States, millions worldwide. And the Lord says, you know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet. And so this is important, you know, times that we're living in where we have to stand up for the unborn child, for our children in our schools, for our society. We have to stand up for the elderly, because euthanasia and the discarding of the elderly is on the horizon, which now exists in some countries. And so we have to take this seriously, my friends, and take a moment to get educated. And we're providing some motivation today and education for you to become an activist, for you to become a true voice for goodness in God's eyes. And with that, we want to thank you for listening this morning. So we're about 20 minutes into the program, and we're going to take a moment to thank our audience once again. We want to thank you for listening to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here back on the air with you and using our radio waves time as a platform to get some great messages out and to preach the gospel, which is what we're going to do right now. We're going to move into the readings from the weekend, which is so important, and it is the Lenten period. And how is Lent going for you, my friends? How are things going for you? In today's show, we'll be talking about how God can test us as we are moving through life and the sacrifice that God calls us to make. And this is important. So we're going to be covering a few things here this morning. And the first is our first reading from the book of Genesis, which is so profound. And here it is, my friends. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you." When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on that boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spled a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son. Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did, not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the first reading, we find that Abraham was put to the test by God when he asked Abraham to offer his son up as a holocaust. Imagine to offer your son, his son's name was Isaac, to offer him up to take the life of your son, which is just an incredible moment in time where we could not make that decision for sure. It's just such a difficult thing because we're human. But Abraham did it. And the messenger came from heaven. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do the least thing to him. But God did test him. And then God blessed him because he obeyed his commitment. And this is the difficult thing in obeying God's word. Obeying what God asks us to do is many times very difficult, especially for Abraham in this case, taking the life of his own son. But Abraham was going to do it, and that's why Abraham is so close to God and was known to be a friend to God, known as a friend to God from the word. And God will test us, my friends, as he tested Abraham. He will test us in many, many ways. And many years ago, there was a woman who whose husband had an affair. And she wanted revenge. And this went on for at least 6 months or so. And finally, she had arranged for her own self to have an affair. And on the way to the affair, which she was going to carry out, she had a terrible car accident and was left 60% paralyzed. I met this woman in a nursing home, and she shared this story with me that I never had the affair, but I was going to do it. I was going to carry it out. And this, my friends, is, you know, adultery, basically going to be carried out. And she never actually carried out the affair, but God knew her heart. He knew her intentions. And it was the opposite to what Abraham was going to do. In any case, she ended up 60% paralyzed and in a nursing home and shared this story with me. And these are the consequences sometimes because our intentions are to carry out, you know, what God tells us not to do. Very, very important, you know, when we're going to carry out this sin. And we will be tested. And I just tell you that one of the most difficult things she shared was that her day, each day, is that, you know, she has to be awakened and bathed by an aide who will shower her. And she doesn't even know the person. And it's very humiliating, very humbling. So we have to be careful of the decisions that we make, which can have consequences that are grave, that they are, you know, very severe and can be life-lasting, as she is in a nursing home today. And, you know, when this took place, she was in her 40s, and I know she must be about 60 years old now, and so maybe a little bit more. But this is a very difficult situation. And so we have to be careful the decisions we make. Are we making these with God or against him? And Abraham, in his decision to take the life of his son, was making a decision to please God. And God, you know, is a God of life. God is not dead. God is a God of life. He supports life and the creation of children. Why would he want Abraham to kill his son? So it was just a test. And before he carried it out, God's messenger prevented that grave act from occurring, from happening. And he said to Abraham that because you did not hold back, you did not withhold, you will be blessed. And this is powerful. The blessings that Abraham has received is incredible, as he's noted as the father of all nations. And so this is a great message of how God can bless us in our lives as we move through life and pass each test that he puts in front of us. And we will be tested. And we're going to talk about that today. We will be tested in some of our most vulnerable areas. And sometimes it's least expected. But there's nothing we can do, my friends, because the tests will come. And this is the Lenten period, the 6 weeks of Lent, where we prepare for Easter, the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. Event so powerful that world time is based on that. And we have to be, again, careful that we're not making those mistakes. So each decision is very, very critical. And in the second reading, I want to take us to the second reading now, which is the reading from Romans. And we're talking about St. Paul, my friends. And St. Paul says this, okay? My brothers and sisters, if God is with us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handle him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us, who will condemn us. Christ Jesus it is who died, or rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Romans today, we see St. Paul telling us, if God is with us, who can be against us? And like the young man in the movie, you know, God is not dead, who had the power of God to go up against his philosophy professor and to prove the case that God is not dead to 60 students in his classroom. Like him, we too must go forth with God and take on these challenges and overcome these challenges in our society today. St. Paul tells us about Abraham again. He who did not spare his own son. How will he not give us everything else along with him? God wants to give us everything we want. In his time and in his way, my friends. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. But he calls us to be faithful servants. In the book of Deuteronomy, God promises the blessings of obedience to those who are faithful, to those who listen, to those who follow his commands. And here it is from the book of Deuteronomy. As your reward for heeding these decrees, the blessings of obedience, and observing them carefully, the Lord your God will keep with you the merciful covenant which he promised an oath to your fathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, your children, and the produce of your soil, your work, your grain and wine and oil, your food, the issue of your herds and the young of your flocks, in the land which he swore to your fathers he would give you, your home. You will be blessed above all people. No man or woman among you shall be childless, nor shall your livestock be barren. The Lord will remove all sickness from you. He will not afflict you with any of the malignant diseases that you know from Egypt, but will leave them with your enemies. This is powerful from the book of Deuteronomy. And as we talk about Abraham's decision, God was with him. And as St. Paul says, if God is with us, who can be against us? I remember the time when I was invited to be a speaker at Bally's Park Place Casino for 1,000 principals and teachers at a conference. And the invitation came to me up at Trenton Mercer Airport while I was doing a tour for a class, an airport tour of the control tower and the runways and some other things that are important in aviation. And at the conference in Bally's Park Place Casino, I could feel as I'm presenting the WINGS program to more than 1,000 teachers and principals, I can feel the opposition. I could feel in the hearts of some of the people in front of me that God was dead. There was an atheistic presence there. And, of course, I'm sure there were some believers, which was confirmed later on. But as I went through the presentation, I could feel the opposition. I can feel the lack of interest in the WINGS program, which has a faith-based portion running through it, a faith-based theme that runs through it, that we have to line up with what God says to do and what he says not to do. Very important. And the Word of God runs through the WINGS program. And as I presented character education and family education, business development, decision-making, communication, situational awareness, inmate reentry or success in it, recovery from substance abuse and alcoholism, as we presented topic after topic after topic for 1 hour, I could feel the lack of interest, the opposition because of the faith-based element. The aviation analogies used were well accepted, but I could see it in the eyes of our listening audience that there was a lack of respect for the Word of God that was being presented. And we know that since 1962, the Word of God was removed from public schools. That too has to be brought back, my friends. We know that years later, Judge Roy Moore was fired for standing up for the Ten Commandments. Yes, fired. The Alabama Chief Justice was fired before I ran for U.S. Congress in 2004. This gentleman, a West Point graduate, a great family man, Alabama Chief Justice, was fired because he stood up for the Ten Commandments in his courthouse. We're now in the year 2021, and look at the things that are going on here today, my friends. Okay? This is important. And I want to, share that story with you because when I completed my presentation at Bally's Park Place Casino, I felt that no one was with me. And I packed up my PowerPoint presentation, my whiteboard, my 35-millimeter slide presentation. It was all everything encompassing. And I started to exit the ballroom. And a woman approached me and she said, "Do you know where ballroom A is?" I said, "No, I really don't. I'm not a worker here. I'm not employed here. I'm a speaker." She says, "Well, you're not that Christian speaker, are you?" I said, "Well, probably would be me." And she said, "Well, I'm a principal up in North Jersey, and I would love to hear your presentation of the WINGS program." So at that moment, I unwrapped my gear and did a presentation for her. And then we followed up with a live presentation in her elementary school. And God lifted my spirits, because if God is with us, who can be against us? Well, there will be people against us, but God is there, and we're in good company, because there were people against the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked the earth, because of a lack of faith, because of ignorance, because of things like jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. Like the professor who lost his children, his mother at age 12 in the movie God's Not Dead. He walked away from the Lord. walked away from the Word of God and became an atheist. And when that elementary school principal was interested, she showed interest in what I was talking about, it lifted my spirits, and God knew it. He knew it. It cost a lot of money and time to prepare a presentation at Bally's Park Place and to go there and to do a live multimedia presentation many years ago. And God lifted my spirits because he knew that it is so difficult to get these messages into a public school system. Yet a lot of our children are going to public school. And this is what it is. We have to think about that. I went to a public high school, went to Catholic elementary school. And, you know, the challenges are very great for our parents out there who are dealing with these issues of the curriculums that are built on, things that we are not finding support of in our church today. They are not with the Lord. So we have to, you know, do everything we can to build up our curriculums, to include the Word of God, to include the morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to do it. And the Wings program now, my friends, since 1993 has been doing just that. And today we're talking about it because it's important. And thank God for Holy Spirit Radio, who gives us the ability to get those messages out here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ, because on many other radio stations, you will not hear this message. It is important. And with that, it is important that you continue to support this radio station. Very critical. And so I just tell you again that if God is with us, who can be against us? Well, there will be people against us, and we have to remember that. But God knows our hearts, our minds, and he is there to help. He is there to help in so many ways. It's powerful. It just depends on your level of faith, your level of belief. God will help you to make phone calls, for people to call you, to accomplish your agenda for the day. Because if you're walking with God, helping to build up the kingdom of God, have confidence, be encouraged that God is walking with you every step of the way. And sometimes he's carrying us because of defeat. And that's why he sent the apostles out two by two, because he knew that sometimes when you knock on the door will be slammed in your face. And you'll have to also realize that sometimes that your message will be unaccepted and people will walk away. And you will have to dust off your sandals, hold your head up high, and walk away, because you're in good company with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's powerful. And the roots of Christianity come from Judaism. And we're walking with Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah. We're walking with our Blessed Mother Mary, Saint Joseph. We're walking with the saints, the powerful saints who came before us, the prophets. And we're going to continue on this because we have much work to do. I want to move to our gospel reading now, my friends, which is from the Gospel of Mark. And here it is. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain, apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them, along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. And this is a powerful reading, a powerful gospel from the Gospel of Mark that talks about the transfiguration of Jesus, an event that was designed to, increase the faith of Peter, James, and John, the three selected to go with Jesus and witness his transfiguration. It's very powerful. And the Lord showed them Elijah, who represents the prophets from the Old Testament. And he showed him Moses, who received the laws of God on Mount Sinai. And this is just a powerful moment. If you can envision this occurring and how the Lord, prepared these three men to do what they had to do while he prepared for what he had to do. And they didn't have any idea of what it meant with regards to the rising from the dead. And so I wanted to use that phraseology because that comes from the Word. And no one has ever risen from the dead. And so the resurrection, Easter Sunday, the resurrection day, is so powerful that world time is based on that event. And that's why we celebrate that each and every year. And this is a powerful time. Again, Jesus took Peter, James, and John on this journey to increase their faith. What journey are you taking? Or has the Lord taken you on to increase your faith, to help you to understand that the Lord is more powerful than even Moses, who received the laws of God on Mount Sinai? What journey, my friends, has the Lord taken you on in your life? I want you to think about that. How much does the Lord care about you? What obstacles has the Lord brought you through? What have you overcome with the Lord's help? And in the reading, God said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." This is where the rubber meets the road, where we sometimes come up short. We're unable to listen to what God tells us to do and not to do. We're so busy with the things that are important to us at the moment. It could be work-related, sports-related, hobbies, television, radio, music. Think about that. What is it that the Lord has brought you through? And the Lord is talking to us all the time. Holy Spirit lives within us. Very powerful. God gave us two ears and one mouth and wants us to listen to what he tells us to do and not to do. In the Wings program, that is paramount. It comes up in every session. And it's in there at the forefront to make sure that people are absolutely clear that that is an objective that we have to maintain. And God makes it clear in the book of Deuteronomy when he tells us to be careful to observe all the commandments I enjoin on you today, that you may live and increase and may enter into and possess the land which the Lord your God promised an oath to your fathers. Living a life of increase is where you're getting things from life. My friends, you're getting a wife. You're getting children. You're getting grandchildren. You're getting a home. You're getting peace of mind. You're getting joy today. A life of decrease is where you're losing things. You're losing your family. You're losing your marriage. You've lost your home. You've lost your career. You've lost your health. So in the book of Deuteronomy, God says to be careful to observe the commandments I give you today that you may live a life of increase. That's the formula, my friends, to live a prosperous life. We have to line up with those things that God tells us to do. In the book of Deuteronomy, in another area, he says, be careful to not deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as the Lord your God has commanded. And it's in those detours that we take that incredible things occur that change your life forever. This is important. And in the WINGS program, dealing with men who are addicted to alcohol or cocaine or crack cocaine or methamphetamine or opiates or heroin or fentanyl or addicted to gambling, shopping, sex, all kinds of things. It's in these areas, my friends, that our life is changing forever. And we don't get these years back. So we've got to make great decisions. Great decisions each and every day that support family life, support our children's future, support the taking care of a home by having a great work ethic, and doing the right thing each and every day. Very, very critical. The tragedies out there are enormous. It takes great decisions each and every day by each and every one of us to secure our future and to walk with God. And God calls us to do it. And we are in the area of Lent right now, that six-week period we celebrate every year once again. And I want to just talk a little bit about sin right here, because sin is important, and to avoid sin is the goal. The Catechism of the Catholic Church defines sin as an offense against reason, truth, and right conscience. A failure in charity to love God and neighbor. Sin is also defined as a break or rupture, missing the mark, wandering off, taking a detour or breaking a covenant. Think about it, my friends. Have you taken a detour lately? Are you on track? Have you missed the mark? What more can we do to stay on course? And there are different types of sin. Original sin, we refer to, we inherited from our parents, going back to Adam and Eve. Original sin. Mortal sin, a rejection of God's love for us, a serious or grave matter, with full consent of the will. And you know, God gives us choice, free will. We make decisions each and every day to go this way or that way. But we know in our hearts what's right and what is wrong, because the Word of God has been planted within us so that we know inherently right from wrong. Mortal sin, a rejection of God's love for us. Grave matter, a serious matter. Full consent of the will. You're fully aware of it. Venial sin, a sin that is not regarded as depriving the soul of divine grace. And then there's actual sin. I did it. And then it distanced me from God. Something I actually did. Am aware of it. What can you and I do, my friends, to avoid sin? What can we do to not distance ourselves from the love of God? What can we do to not lose God's grace? When we're in the grace of God, we're empowered to do beautiful things for other people, to forgive others, to love others, to say, I'm sorry, to say, thank you for your time this morning, to say, please, to offer one comforting words that are important in the midst of the loss of a loved one. With the grace of God, beautiful things can be done. But when we're in that mode where we're distanced from God, we're out of His grace and we're walking on our own. And there's a dwell period. There's a period of correction. What can we do to avoid sin? We can pray often. We can pray rote prayer, and we can pray from the heart, which is so critical, my friends, that we pray for the heart, from the heart, for our intentions, for our children. We pray that God will bless us abundantly with inner peace, hope, joy, and great vision for the future. That He will protect us, and He will protect this nation from Satan himself and the warriors who work for Satan in all areas of the world. We can avoid areas of weakness, our most vulnerable areas, whatever they are. You have to know what those areas are, my friends, and you and I have to avoid them. We're all vulnerable. We're all sinners, but we can do it with God's help, because if God is with us, who can be against us? And we can know what these areas are that God asks us to overcome. What are the struggles? And we can start by going to confession. We can walk with God, my friends. This is important. My friends, we're just coming up on the top of the hour. We only have a few seconds left. I hope you have enjoyed our program today. I want to just remind you to take a moment to go on Netflix and watch the program God's Not Dead. A great inspirational program that will make you feel good and remind you that you are walking with the Lord. Also want to remind you to get educated and motivated to get the message out about the Equality Act and get to your senators and to others to help to avoid that from going forward. And last but not least, I want to thank you for tuning in with us program today. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here back on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. May God bless you. May He bless your families. May He bless your children. May He give you your heart's desires. And may God continue to bless Holy Spirit Radio and Dale and Jane and Frank and all of our Holy Spirit Radio family. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be with you, my friends. God bless you. Have a great Lenten period. We will talk to you again next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day. God bless.